Hello and welcome to Webhack Wednesday. I'm Martin Beebe and this is
Martin Kern.
Got that right this week.
Yeah.
And this week we're going to be talking about Gulp.
Yes.
Gulp.
The curiously named software called Gulp.
Yeah, sounds fun. So what is it about Gulp that we're going to be learning about this week?
Well, Gulp is a JavaScript task runner.
Yep.
So a task runner is a piece of software that lets you kind of automate the tasks on your project, basically. So anything that you might...
Aptly named?
Yeah. It's a good name, really. The name Gulp is slightly dubious, but the theme of...
Why do they never name these things? Just regular things?
Yeah, Grunt is another one. Broccoli.
Yeah.
Fancy bit of broccoli.
They're just like, it's like a build task, isn't it? It does something with, like, you can use it to manipulate files and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Pre-build or post-build or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So the typical example is doing work with CSS, like minifying CSS, CSS. So we're going to use it in the context of ASP.NET 5.
Okay.
Obviously, Gulp doesn't just apply to ASP.NET. In fact, it's quite new to ASP.NET. It's only in 5 that you'd really use Gulp. But it's something that the web world has been using for quite a while. And we're going to use it in the context of ASP.NET, and we're just going to build out a completely empty project and just build up this Gulp file as we go to do some CSS work.
So, important things to sort of note is that something like Gulp or Grunt or any of these
curiously named pieces of software, yeah.
The reason why they're popular, I think, is because they run in JavaScript.
Yeah.
And that's not a reason to be making it popular, but JavaScript runs everywhere.
Yeah.
So these sorts of build tasks and things can run on any machine, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's really quite popular and why so many different frameworks are using it. But ultimately, all you'll need to actually do any of this is a command line on a system.
Yeah, a node, basically.
And node and the ability to install node.
Yeah.
So I know that there's a lot of built-in functionality inside of Visual Studio, but you don't have to use any of that at all.
No.
Gulp can just run, you know, command line
absolutely,
interface.
Absolutely, yeah. So we could absolutely just use this like any editor, Visual Studio Code, Sublime, etc. would work exactly the same way, as long as we've got node installed. So they are node packages. Gulp itself is a node package. And the thing that you install, the plugins you install on top of Gulp are also node packages as well.
Well, enough talking about these nonsense names and stuff.
Let's start
taking the name seriously of this show and start hacking.
Let's start hacking indeed. Well, we'll start off in Visual Studio. So, as I say, we're going to do an ASP.NET project here. So I'm just going to do file new project. So at the moment, we're on release candidate 1. But, you know, that's fine. That's not a bad thing. It's better than the previous version.
The interesting thing about release candidate 1 of ASP.NET is it comes with a go live license.
Yep.
So if you're crazy enough to need to go live with it at this stage.
You can. So this code, this wonderful code that we're about to write.
Yeah, we could totally deal with production.
We could make this live, yeah. I don't know, why is a go live like? I don't know,
but it's...
Well, it's up to me if I want to put it live or not.
Yeah, but I think it's like you have to, some guy has to support you, I think.
Some poor fellow.
Yeah, I think if there's a go live license, I think... This is not legal advice, to consult your lawyers, but I believe a go live license means that you can go live with it on production, and if something goes wrong, then we will support it. Up until then, we wouldn't support. So if you put beta 7 on a server and it went wrong, your fault.
So technically, does that mean that our website that we've had since beta 3 has been illegal up until then?
Not illegal, unsupported.
Unsupported, okay.
Like, no one's going to arrest us for putting a website
live. Support it anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that.
Can we do some gulping?
Yeah, let's do some gulping. Well, we'll do some ASP.NET 5-ing first.
Okay.
And we're going to create an empty project.
Okay.
So unlike previous iterations of ASP.NET, empty is pretty much empty.
Yeah.
It's not empty.
It used to be really empty. Now it's sort of moderately empty.
But ASP.NET 4.5 empty isn't empty at all. It's actually quite full.
It's full of loads of stuff.
But this one's quite empty, so that's what we want. We're going to do that. The reason I've chosen empty there is because the web application template has all this stuff already set up. So you can, if you're building a new app, you can generally could start with the web application template, and you probably don't need to worry too much about Gulp.
Yep.
But I want to show you how it works, and we're going to build it up from scratch, so that's why we started with an empty project.
Right,
Okay, so the first thing, because this is empty, I'm just going to close down these files. We won't worry about what these are. And this is what we've got as a project structure there. We've got, so basically, we've got a startup CS file, and that's pretty much it, and a WW root where the static files will go.
Yeah.
That's basically it. So there's not even node that isn't on here yet.
Okay. Anything.
So the first thing, because Gulp is an NPM package, we need to add an NPM config file to be able to do that. And the way we do that is we just right-click, we go add new item, and I'm looking for a node configuration file, so I'm just going to type in NPM, and that's going to give me NPM configuration file, just zoom in there so we can see that. The default name of this is package.json.
Okay.
I think you can name that, but you know, I don't know what's going to happen if I do name that, so I'm going to leave it as package.json.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. Convention is the best thing to do with these things.
Especially when you don't know what you're doing.
Especially when you don't know what you're doing, which is basically how I roll.
Yeah. Default state.
Yeah, default state. So we've now got our package.json file, which allows us to add a list of dev dependencies.
Can you up the font on that for people?
I can,
people?
For the people at home. I'm going to use my favourite little search thing. I'm going to just type in the word font there, and I'm going to go to size 20.
You crazy? 20?
Yeah. Oh,
that looks good, actually.
That's cool. I knew it would.
Yeah.
So we're going to add gulp as a dev dependency.
Yep.
And what that's going to do is when we save this file, it's going to go off to npm, download the gulp package, get it all installed, and it's all going to be wonderful. The way we do that is we just simply type the word gulp. We can see it's gone off there. Again, I'll zoom in so you can see that. I can't zoom in because it fades out, but let me just try that again. It goes off to npm and it gets a list of the packages that are available. So we've got gulp. And then it's going to get the version. I'm going to choose the latest one, which is 3.9.0.
Yep.
Tab. And then as soon as I click save, you'll see over on the right-hand side, the dependencies are restoring.
Yep.
So that means as soon as I save the file, it's going off, it's going to get the node package, and it's going to install gulp for me. And after a few seconds, there we go, looks like that's done. We can now see there's gulp, and there's all of gulp's dependencies as well. So gulp itself uses a ton of other npm packages as well.
So you've just installed Orchestra,
yeah.
Liftoff.
Yeah. I don't know what any of these
Archie,
things do.
Chalk, Depreciated, Gulp Util, Tidify, V8 Flags.
Do you know what any of them do?
V8 Flags is a
No.
But I imagine that's something to do with the V8 JavaScript engine. I would imagine it's not to do with V8 engines in cars and flags of countries.
No. Best thing to do, really, is just minimize it and pretend that it's just gulp and it's fine.
Right, okay.
We don't need to confuse ourselves.
Yeah, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
No, let's not do that. So gulp is installed, but we still can't start using gulp because gulp needs its own config file.
So let me just figure that out. We put a dev dependency of gulp in there, 3.90. Now, gulp was obtained from npm.
Yeah.
So the node package manager.
Yeah.
So gulp is now a thing which is, and then if we want to take other packages, they are going to also be node packages, things that we're going to add in here, but they rely on gulp as well.
Yeah. Okay. So the plugins, we'll come to plugins a little bit later on, but gulp basically relies on these things called plugins, which third-party people and gulp themselves will write and publish to npm.
Okay.
But we're not at that stage yet, Martin.
No, okay.
We jumped the gun slightly there.
Okay, well, I got all confused by
the
flags.
Yeah. Well, this is why it's best to keep that bit minimized, you see, and out of the way. So what we're going to do now is we're going to add a gulp file.
Okay.
And we do that the same way as we did with our npm file. We just go to add new item. This time I'm going to search for gulp. And now there we go, gulp configuration file. Again, by convention, this is called gulpfile.js.
Gulpfile.js, yep.
Now, unlike other packages like Grunt doesn't use a JavaScript file as its main config. It's like a JSON type format.
Right.
But the gulp file is just pure JavaScript. So when we're editing the gulp file, we're just writing JavaScript. So, yeah. That's great if you like JavaScript.
Yeah.
If you don't like JavaScript, it's not so great, but it's at least JavaScript. So there we go. This is the default file that we've got here with gulp. So the way this thing works is it has its dependencies first. So this is saying that this requires gulp in order to work. So it's importing the gulp functionality into the JavaScript file. And then we've got this thing called a default task.
Yep.
So the way gulp works is the default task is what happens when you just execute the word gulp on the command line.
Right.
So just to get us started, I'm just going to add a silly little bit of code in here. I'm just going to do console, whoops. You know what I'm going to write?
Console.log.
Console.log, yeah.
Hello.
I really don't want to type world.
Webhack Wednesday.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that.
Webhack.
Cool. There we go. Much, much better. So we've now got gulp. We've got a gulp file. And when we run this and we execute the command gulp, then we should find that it says, hello, Webhack Wednesday in the console.
So are you going to prove that?
I'm going to prove that. But we've got one more step to do first.
Okay.
Because how do we run gulp? I could load the command prompt line and just do gulp. But Visual Studio's got some extra bits and pieces for me here.
Okay.
So I'm just going to save that. Visual Studio has a thing called bindings. So I'm going to right-click on my gulp file and go to Task Runner Explorer.
Sorry, I missed that because I was zooming on the wrong camera.
Okay, well, I'm going to do that again. Then I'm going to right-click on my gulp file and go to Task Runner Explorer. And it gives me this nice little interface here where I can basically, with my mouse, I can assign different tasks to different events in Visual Studio. So I'm going to assign the default task to run after the project's been built.
I just love the way, with my mouse.
With my mouse, I know, because...
With the magic of my mouse!
With the magic, but in the world of Gulp, in the world of task runners, that's kind of a novelty.
Yeah.
People don't use mice with task runners, generally.
Well, with these sorts of task runners, I mean, you could argue something like MS Build or the other build systems.
Yeah.
They're all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just that these ones so happen to be written in JavaScript and based on Node.
So I'm going to right-click on my default task I just set up and say I'm going to bind that to after build. So what happens is when Visual Studio builds a project, when it's finished, it's going to run the Gulp file. And we can see as well in our Gulp file, it's just added this comment. I don't know what that's there for, but it's just interesting that it gets put there.
I suspect that that's how it does.
That's how the bind. Maybe that's just how the
bind. Well, Visual Studio used to have a weird thing where when it would hook up debugging for other JavaScript files, it would use that syntax three triple thing. So it must have some way.
It must have a meaning because it would be silly to put that there.
Well, there are no other files which it generated there, so that must be how it actually works.
So presumably I could just type this in here, but that'd be typing. I wouldn't be using my mouse then, so let's not do that.
So if you let's find out.
Make me
let's find out,
now,
right?
Yeah, okay.
Right. Well, so let's cut that out.
I'm glad you said save it. It's still there.
Okay. Well, is there some way of refreshing that? No.
Well, here we go, there's a refresh button now.
Yeah, look, it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. So then
put that
paste
back
it in and save it and refresh that.
If you didn't like the magic of the mouse, you could do it. You could go back to keyboards.
You don't have to use the Task Runner Explorer if you don't want to.
This is it. Yeah, we've just made that irrelevant.
We've made a discovery there. Brilliant. Okay, so all I'm going to do now is build the project. And what we're looking for is the wonderful Hello World. So let's go to Visual Studio Build Solution. It's going to run the JavaScript console right there in the Task Runner Explorer. And look what we've got there. Hello Webpack Wednesday.
Wow.
It says. So we've done our first Gulp file.
This is right up there with the with that demo that you did last week, which was the pop-up.
Yes, it is. Yeah, yeah.
This is good.
I've got the whole power of Gulp here. I've got nearly 2,000 plugins available to me. And I've written Hello Webpack
console.log.
Console.log.
I like it.
But yeah, it's baby steps. We're starting at the bottom. We're going to work our way up. Now, what we're going to do now is start doing some CSS goodies.
Okay.
Okay. So, to do that, I need a CSS file. So, I'm going to create a project, a folder called CSS. And in here, I'm going to create a style sheet.
You created that one with a shouty name.
Yeah. Well, that's how I roll.
Uppercase. If anyone's listening, wondering what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Shouty name.
So there's a lot of people don't have the BB translation module.
No, not everyone has the BB translation module installed. Yeah. It's a shame, really.
No. That's available on GitHub, I believe.
Yeah.
So I've got some sample code here. It's just a very, very simple bit of CSS. Again, it's not the most complex CSS in the world.
It's not?
No, it's just it sets the body, sets the H1, and sets the H2. I'm also going to add one more thing, which will become obvious later.
Hyphens,
yeah. We'll come to that later, why that's there.
Okay.
So that's a very basic CSS file for us here. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to start adding some features to do some work with the CSS file in Gulp.
Yep.
So for a start, we might want to minify that. So minification is this idea of basically taking out all the white space, taking out all the comments, try and make it as compressed as it possibly can be.
Yep.
And it's a performance thing. So it's you would do that to try and make the file smaller so it's less to download.
So less stuff needs to go over the wire.
Indeed. Now to do this, we need to install another plugin called CSS Min.
Right.
Or Gulp CSS Min. So we go back to our packages file. And just like we did with Gulp, I'm going to type in Gulp. CSS min, there it is, and I'm going to again get the latest version of that. So as before, I'm going to click save. It's going to go away and download that package for me.
Brilliant.
Make that to finish.
Dependencies restoring.
Again, there it is, CSS min, and we're not going to expand it this time because we did that before. And
no, do it. Let's do it.
No, okay. Quickly then.
Let's see what we've got, which we don't know what it is.
Right, that's enough.
There's something graceful in there.
I'm intrigued now.
Graceful FS, Graceful File System, yeah. Gulp Rename, Gulp Util, MapStream, TempWrite, Clean File, they all make sense.
Yeah, to me. There we go. Good.
It's when there's something random in there, which I'm never sure.
Yeah.
Like, well, something random.
Like Gulp.
Roundtrees.js.
Roundtrees, that probably is a thing. Anyway, so we've got that now. We've got the Gulp CSS min thing installed. So I'm going to add the dependency to my Gulp file. I'm going to call this one just CSS min. And it's going to say require Gulp CSS min. So basically, you can see that it's helped me out there with the IntelliSense, which is quite a nice feature.
So that IntelliSense must be going up to NPM and actually doing some kind of live.
But let's try that again just to see what happens. I'm not sure why. Yeah, I'm not sure where this list is coming from. But it's got the one that I want in it. So
yeah. Well, I know that there are other areas when you're doing. Some of the JSON editing, that it does do actually a live check on the NPM, live poll to the actual service. So maybe it's doing that.
Okay. So we've got our default tasks. I'm going to create a new task now for CSS modifications.
Yeah.
And I'll explain how that pins into the default task in a second. So the way we do that is we just write gulp.task. I'm going to call this task CSS min_task. And then I'm going to pass it into a function. So again, this is just regular JavaScript that we're writing here. There's nothing that special going on here. So we're going to use gulp.src. What this does is it lets us go to, it gets the source, like the incoming files for the gulp thing. So I'm going to put CSS, star.css. What that means is it's going to take anything that's got a CSS file extension in my CSS folder,
right,
which at the moment is just this one style sheet. Now the way gulp works, it has this concept of piping.
Yep.
So it can take one line, which is this one, where it's going to take all the files in that source folder, and it pipes them into the next line of code, and then the next line, next line. It has this system of piping the information from one task to another, or from one line of code to another. So I'm going to take that, and I'm going to do dot pipe, and I'm going to pass in CSS min. So what that's saying is it's saying, take all the CSS files in that folder, and then pipe them into the CSS min plugin.
Right.
So that's going to then minify all of those files. Now, we're not done yet because we need to then put them somewhere.
Okay.
So by convention in ASP.NET, static files go in your www root folder.
Yep.
So that is conventionally where you would store images, JavaScript, CSS, etc. So we're going to pipe it into that location.
So unlike ASP.NET 4.6, where the root of your application, yep, is served as the root of the website, they now have this one level up.
Exactly, yeah.
Folder, which is where everything's served from, so all of your C# files and build files, yeah, sit outside of that folder and are never exposed to the public web.
Yeah, there's a very clear separation between the .NET stuff, or the kind of source code stuff, and the actual files that get produced and served by the server. So we're going to then pipe this again. So remember, this is the output from the minification task. I'm going to use something called gulp.dest, which is basically saying set the destination. And this is going to be www root. And I'm going to just put it in a folder called CSS. So this folder doesn't exist at the moment, but Gulp's going to create this for us. Okay, so that's the basic Gulp task. And what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to change our default task, because we don't want to do Hello Webpack Wednesday anymore. We've kind of done that. I think the viewers have understood how that works.
I think they've got to grips. I think we can give them that level, but they've got to grips with console.log.
Yes.
So this is a bit more of a useful.
Slightly more useful, yeah. So what we're doing here is the default task will basically accept an array of other tasks to run. So right now we've only got one other task. It's a CSS min task. But we're going to add more to them as we go on. But right now, when we run gulp, or when we run that default task, it's going to then run the CSS min task, which is going to enumerate all the files in the CSS folder, minify them, and then store the output into a www root.
Like being a plumber, this piping everything.
Piping, yeah.
Like Mario.
Very good. Maybe that should have been their icon rather than this weird soda drink. I don't know what. Let's not get into that.
No, it's not. You know that'll go off.
I know, yeah. I thought that almost instantly as soon as I said it. I immediately regret it.
I'm the one which takes on tangent, Martin. You stick to doing that.
Stick to do that. Okay, brilliant.
Stick to the script, and I'll do the tangent.
Okay, I'll do that then.
So why do they have that logo?
I don't know. With something to do with Mario?
Oh, right.
Right, let's turn that off. So let's build it. So we can see the output there, and we can see straight away we've got a CSS folder.
Yep.
Zoom so we can see that. And then in that we've got stylesheet.css.
Okay.
Which is good. And if we load that up, look, it's minified.
Wow.
That's amazing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, all the white space.
We've probably saved about 3K by doing that. That's
such
CSS
a big
file.
CSS yeah. file before.
But you know, it's the concept of it that's important.
Yeah, no, I understood. Yeah. Yep.
Now then, we're not done yet though.
Okay.
As you may have noticed that I put in a hyphens thing earlier on.
Yeah, I did.
I did, yeah. And I bet you wondered why is he put that in there?
I tell you what, I did wonder, Martin, but then yeah. I remembered that I have been on the road with you for nearly a year and a half
yeah.
and have seen this demo maybe 50, 60
the,
times.
The viewers don't know.
Other than that, I was wondering, what does that hyphens yeah. mean?
Now, hyphens is a CSS property. I'm going to go to a website called Can I Use. This is a great way to kind of understand what level of browser support certain properties have. If I type in hyphens,
so this caniuse.com.
Yeah, you have to be able to spell the word hyphens to use this. Now we can see we've got quite mixed support here. So, IE and Edge require the MS vendor prefix in order to use hyphens. So hyphens on its own. Should I just zoom in there?
Yeah. Oh yeah, they do.
Hyphens on its own. Won't work in Explorer or Edge without that prefix.
Right.
In Firefox, it will work just on its own. Chrome doesn't seem to have any support at all with a prefix or otherwise, which is, I think, is quite surprising, but
yep.
there we go. Safari requires the WebKit prefix.
Right, so Chrome have intentionally removed it.
Yeah, looks like it, yeah. And what have we got? Opera doesn't support it, and Safari again there. So we've got mixed support here. Firefox is the only one that supports it just on its own.
Yep.
So this CSS code that we've got here will only work in Firefox.
I bet they wrote it.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. just a guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Sorry.
But for IE and Edge, we need the MS prefix.
It's strange,
Safari.
Actually, that, because in Edge, you very rarely see prefixes.
It is strange,
so it's,
yeah.
I'll ask why.
It'd be interesting to understand where this is going as a standard, really. But it makes a good example
for your demo. Yeah. Understood.
So right now, this code isn't going to work in anything apart from Firefox, because I haven't put any of the vendor prefixes in it. But I want to use a vendor prefix, but I don't have to manage that.
Yep.
So I'm going to use a Gulp plugin called Auto Prefixer.
Yep.
So this isn't just a Gulp plugin, but it is available as a Gulp plugin. And what this does is it'll take the CSS that I write. I can just write standard CSS, and it'll figure out what prefixes are required, and it'll add those automatically.
Okay.
Very cool. So I'm going to go in. It's an NPM package, just like the other two. So I'm going to add it in. It's called Gulp Auto Prefixer. Wait for that to find it. I could just type it in. I just like to wait. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Oops.
It's just to make sure the spelling's right. I always do that.
And people, I don't know why it's not pulled it up for that one, but anyway, there we go. So we're going to save that.
Yeah, it's restoring.
And there we go. It's restoring the package. We can see that that's now listed. We're definitely not going to expand this one.
No, okay.
As tempting as it might be to click that little arrow.
We'll leave that for an activity for the viewers.
The viewers, because that's the homework.
And then you can tweet us with the hashtag webhackwed.
I don't know why you didn't put Nidsday on the end of that.
Because I'm saving characters. Actually, it was social media team advice.
Oh, okay. But then you have to think, is it wed?
So webhackwed.
Yeah.
And you can tweet us with the favorite of the auto prefixer dependencies.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see if anyone in the world does that.
So let's see if anybody can find the most humorously named dependency amongst these three NPM packages.
Yeah, and then just tweet that with the hashtag webhackwed, and then we'll know that someone is listening in to sort of 24 minutes into this video.
Yeah, excellent.
Good.
Is that how far we went?
Brilliant.
Okay, so let's start using this now. We've got the package installed, and as before, we need to add in a dependency. And we call this one Auto Prefixer. I think that's a good name for this dependency. I'm going to say Gulp Auto Prefixer. So I'm going to add this to the CSS task.
Okay.
I'm going to add this as the first thing it does before it starts minifying things. And all we need to do is just pipe. And then auto prefixer. Oops, I need to spell pipe correctly. So basically it means it's going to take all the CSS files, it's going to do the auto prefixer thing, which is going to insert all these CSS vendor prefixes. It's then going to minify, it's then going to store in the destination folder.
Okay. So all of this, so far, you've gone through like the Visual Studio stuff and you've bound it to your task runner explorers and so forth. But we mentioned at the top that this was just a command line interface.
Yeah.
So you can add different rules into this and then just run it in command line, no?
Yeah, absolutely. So all Visual Studio is doing basically is running Node in the console for us behind the scenes. So I could just open up my regular command line. I could navigate to the same folder, which I think I've got open here. Yeah, there it is. Just to the root of the application, so CD. I'm just going to change the font here so that the viewers can see it. This I can just run Node. So because I've got Node installed, because Gulp's installed, I can just literally write the word Gulp, and that's going to do the same thing as what's bound to the build event in Visual Studio.
Right. Okay. Oh, are you sure that it's in that? But it's not in that folder.
That's what I did before.
Just go to your folder. It's in source.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right, so yeah, not in that folder. That's a silly idea. Let's go to the right folder. So it should be the folder where my actual startup.cs is the project is itself.
Well, that's really, more importantly, the Gulp file.
Well, yeah, yeah. Go to the folder where your Gulp file is. That's really
don't
good.
Go to where the C sharp.
Done, right. Cool. There we go. So that's run Gulp. You can see it's run my CSS task, see it's run my default task. So if we go back into Visual Studio now and just have a look at what's been created. So remember, we started off with just the word hyphens of auto.
Yeah.
And now let's have a look what we've got. Now it's going to be hard to see because it's minified, but hopefully you can see there that it's using the standard CSS property, but it's also using these vendor specific prefixes as well.
Okay.
What's happened there, auto prefix has gone off to can I use, it's gone to their API, it's checked compatibility and it's seen what's required to use that. And it's inserted all that for us. And the great thing about it is it will do that every time. So when, let's say, for example, Microsoft stopped needing the vendor prefixes and support hyphens standardly, the MS prefix will get removed there. So it kind of puts it in there when it's needed, takes it out when it's not needed.
And also, auto prefixer can accept a selection of options, which means that you can say last two browsers. So give me the prefixes for the last two browsers. So you can actually customize the
how far
you want to go and the support that you need to paste on what you need. But the cool thing is that, as you say, it will automatically update on every build, this thing.
Yeah. I mean, if you just use the default settings, you're in a good place for all vendor prefixes.
But it avoids that unnecessary kind of the problem which people have, which we see an awful lot of, is that people will put these WebKit prefixes in or a non-standard prefix in there. Forget that they have it there, and then only come to realize when they actually have a compatibility issue.
Yeah, so I mean, the key issue with this stuff is if somebody targets a vendor prefix but doesn't use a standard as well.
Yeah.
So what actually happens there? So let's say, for example, that we just done, rather than using hyphens, let's say that we just done this, and we haven't done the standard one. It means that only Edge and Firefox will get that at all. If Chrome starts...
Oh, sorry, I didn't actually cut to your screen there. So there we go, okay. I just cut to it.
Okay, so if we just done this, if we didn't, which a lot of people do, so they'll see that it's not a standard property yet, so they'll do the vendor's prefixes. But what happens here is Chrome won't receive that at all because it's not on this list here. So if Chrome do start supporting hyphens in the future, they're still not going to get it because we've got the vendor prefixes.
Yeah, so at least if you're going to use vendor prefixes, then you need to have some kind of management system like this, or you have to do it manually.
You'd have to do it manually,
Okay.
Well, okay, so that's Gulp.
An introduction to Gulp in ASP.NET, but also this could be used in any programming.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the only bit that's really specific to ASP.NET is this Task Runner Explorer interface here. It's binding it to the events that happen inside Visual Studio. Other than that, and maybe the UI that's, Visual Studio gives you some help in terms of your Node packages and things, but the principles of have a Gulp file, have the NPM packages for your plugins, and that's it.
Okay, well, that's it for another week of Web Hack Wednesday. We'll see you next time.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.